We find in this that if we could live the Christian life, that would mean that we would have power over the flesh. And if we could live the Christian life, it would mean we would have power over the devil, because the devil is in the flesh. Within the flesh, there's no good thing. And if we had power over the devil in our own ability, we would not need the Lord Jesus Christ, because for what need would we have of God if we was the master of Satan without Christ Jesus? So then it takes Christ within you, the hope of glory, to live and overcome the body. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast given me power over all flesh. And without his spirit, you're none of his. And your efforts as to righteousness of your own ability is nothing more than filthy rags in his sight. So then it was asked of the people that followed John, have you received his spirit? That is, have you received salvation? Have you really received? They said, well, he said, since you believe. And they said, well, we haven't heard about this. Not so much as there be a Holy Ghost since we've come to be a believer. And he said, well, what kind of baptism have you got? You know, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how was you baptized? Because the Holy Ghost was promised to them that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Like somebody wrote me a letter, and they were really telling me off in a real diplomatic sort of a way. And I read the letter, and they was telling me how that these people that was pressing the issue on the name Jesus as the baptism, how unlearned they were and how ignorant they were. And he went on and went on of how it would make the blood of Jesus of none effect. And then he got all balled up as he went on down. And I just read it. I didn't get upset with him. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. You know, he thinks he's defending something, and that's good. Maybe someday he'll really come into the knowledge of the truth and really stand up for something. He was doing the best he knew how. And I thought, Lord, a poor little babe, you know, all because somebody's got him upset and he was striking at the Pentecostal assemblies, or not the assemblies, but the UPC. One or two preachers that he had apparently tied up with some way. And he never did say anything against me or come out against me, but I could tell that hidden back into his statements, you know, he was trying his best to straighten me out. But that's all right. You know, if folks don't understand, if they just don't understand, they just don't understand. And Paul said, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant, because he is blinded by the ignorance that is within him. But he said to you and I would not have you ignorant. So I'm glad that I come to know of his rest and know of his faith and realize that all of my efforts are foolishness except through his spirit, and that today I've entered into his rest. The Bible said, seeing that these that were there in the wilderness that are of the law are under the law as to that day, and still under the law as to them that are fallen by grace, are from grace, let them know that they can't enter into the rest of God unless they can come to the truth. And you yourselves fear lest ye fail to enter into the rest of the Lord, seeing that they did not enter in because of the murmuring, grumbling against the ministry of that day. Ye fear lest ye come short of entering into that rest, which is the Lord's rest. And they that do enter into his rest have ceased from their own works. And I've entered into that rest. And I'm grateful, because for many years I didn't even know there was a rest. I didn't even know what the rest was. When I read about it, I didn't understand nothing about the rest. And one day I came to understand, and in a fragmental way here, as to whatever little bit of time that I can get control of your mind, I have tried to expound to you the rest of the Lord, that you might enter into it. For the Bible said, he that hath entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own works. When they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works. It was finished from the foundation of the world. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and confession unto salvation is made with the lips. And the only works that's required of you is that if you are born of that nature, and we are by new birth, then that nature will automatically start producing the fruits of spirit. And that fruit of the spirit is holiness. And having the fruits of holiness, and the end thereof, eternal life. You have a way to overcome the flesh and to manifest the wonderful glories and love of God, for you're called to glory and to virtue. Reading from the book of Acts, the 34th verse. of the 10th chapter. I tell you what, let's start at the 24th chapter here. This is concerning the time of the Gentiles. And some of you have been with me, or maybe with someone else or by yourself, over to this place by the seaside, which is called the place where Simon the Tanner lived. And you've been right along down there with me. This is where Peter was abiding when he saw this vision. He was on the housetop. You know how the roofs are made over there, apparently up there somewhere. And he went into a trance while he waited. He got real hungry. And I don't know whether you've ever done it or not. I have. You get real hungry and you just kind of lose your strength. And it's kind of like when you go to sleep at night. You lose your natural strength and then you begin to have visions. As Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. And God begins to speak to you as he did Solomon, as he did Daniel, as he did Joseph and many others. Well, here he was. He became very hungry. And he was at Simon the Tanner's house, which was along the seaside. And all of a sudden he fell into a trance and he saw the sheet let down by the four corners. And he saw all kind of things on there, even creeping things. And the voice said, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, no, no, Lord. There's never been anything unclean, or he said common, that ever come into my system. I've never eaten of that kind of thing, because they were forbidden to take those kind of things. And the Lord said, Peter, don't call common unclean, as we say. Don't call this unclean, that which I've cleansed. And then it did that several times or more, and then it went away. And Peter was troubled at the vision. And about that time, somebody came up there at the gates. They wanted to talk with Peter, and they'd come from a man's house named Cornelius. The Bible said concerning this man of Caesarea that he was a centurion of the Italian band, which was altogether different as to anybody that Peter might would have communicated with. But it was said to him that go with these men. Don't ask them any questions. They come to fetch you. Go with them. And so he went with them. And as he arrived at this man's house, it starts here on the 24th verse, and it says, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and their friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now, we read the other night where someone fell down at the minister's feet and worshipped him. This has been common where they do that. I've had people fall down at my feet. And when they see God in your life, it tears them up so bad that they don't know how to get to God on their own. And so they fall down and they start worshiping. And I have them even in the foreign countries that will run up to us, as I've said so many times. And they'll say, Father, bless me. Please bless me, Father. And whereas the Bible said you're not to call any man on earth your father, and yet the Bible has terms of references as to the prodigal son and the father and whatever. And he is speaking thereof as to being that of the heavenly Father. There is no one that is your father except God, the eternal Spirit. And there is no one your master except the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that is your master. He's the one that mastered you. He's the one that mastered everything concerning the earthly way of life. He is the master of masters. And he is the Lord of lords. And he is the King of kings. And in that time to come, there'll be lords out there. And there'll be masters out there. And there'll be kings out there. But he'll be the King of all of those great mighty kings. See, but here it is. Still, they fell down and worshiped. Paul rent his clothes on one occasion where they come and was going to offer sacrifice to him. And he said, don't do it. And John, falling down at the feet of the angel, would have worshipped him. And the angel said, no, said, I'm of your brethren. I'm of your brethren. Worship God. See, and Peter had to let him know here, said, and As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at this ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayers heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore into Joppa, or to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respect to person, but in every nation he that feareth him and walketh and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all those things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost, as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, we're not going to try to tarry too long, but I do want to exhort just a little bit on these things. First of all, Peter, being a Jew, wouldn't have had any fellowship with these people at all, because they were considered dogs. Even the Lord Jesus said to the woman, "It's not meet that I should take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." But here the Lord had showed a vision. And this vision was an allegoric, revelational thing to Peter that was saying, "Peter, in the Old Testament, I did not allow you, or God did not allow you, to partake of certain things as to animals. Certain ones that had to have cloven hoofs and then chew the cud and these kind of things. And you could not, as of others or whatever it might be that I said you could not eat of, you could not, because it was unclean to you." But now, Peter, in all reality, the uncleanness was that they symbolically represented the Gentile people and the other people of the world, that you could not partake from these people as to feed in any way from these people as to whatever they would be. But now, Peter, it is a different time, because you're no longer under the law. I've redeemed you from the curse of the law. And now all things are pure to the purest, Paul said. And if you are not pure, you are defiled, that even your conscience is defiled. But where these things are, as to what I'm telling you of, he said, there is no more conscience of sin. Though in the Old Testament, he said, even Aaron the high priest could not be made perfect as become of thereunto to offer the sacrifice of these things as to the animals that was pure. He said, that is to say, as Paul said in the Revelation, offering your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Christ Jesus, which is your reasonable service. So he said, now they are clean. But in that time, even Aaron couldn't purge his conscience. How could he purge the others? But now Christ that has gone into the very bloodstream, right into the life, into the spirit, into the holy place, into the holies of holies, said, now hath purged your conscience. And that by the Spirit of Christ, the very God himself, coming in, purifying your heart through the works of Jesus Christ, as to your faith in him, his faith in God, has brought this to him, and through him to you, your faith has brought this sanctifying faith into your heart, as to accept his righteousness, because your sins are forever gone and your iniquities is gone. As Daniel prophesied, and Messiah shall take away iniquity. Your sins are covered and your iniquities are taken away. Even the body of the beast, which is the image that is the perverted one, now he is no more, and ye are no more a natural man, but ye are a spiritual man, and you're not to know anybody else, not even the Lord Jesus, after the flesh, as to the body of the fallen, in that he was made in the image of your sin. But today ye are the spiritual beings, as to angels, equal with them, and you cannot die, having passed from death unto life, because death existeth within the realms of a living soul, and the last man Adam, a quickening spirit. You're no more of the lineage of Adam, who became a living soul, but you have, by the transformation of the mind, the translation of the spirit, and will show this as to the transfiguration of the body, become the wonderful sons of God. And now are ye already the sons of God, as to the sealing of the inner man, perfected forever, sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And now are ye free children, not as to the bonds children under the law, the beggarly elements of this world, in that they that have fallen from grace are under the law still. So in this, he was telling Peter that now it was a different day, and in that there was a change of the law, as Paul said in the Revelation. There is necessity a change of the priesthood from priests to ministers, and from the law to the grace that Paul preached of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the rest of the Lord is entering into works by faith, in that God hath imputed unto us for works faith. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes faith for righteousness, or works, and faith or salvation without works, and the man that cannot sin, and the man whose sins are covered and iniquities are forgiven and taken away. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, or that is, John clears it by saying, he that is born of God, the seed of God, even the Word, the Christ, your hope of glory, the quickening one, he remaineth in you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. So you cannot sin because you're born of God. So this makes us the sons of God. Though it does not yet appear as to what the outer man and the change will look like, yet we already are as the sons of God. For what doth the flesh profit? Nothing. It's buried, it's dead, it's gone, it's smitten by God. The bastard child image is taken away. Now you're the beloved image of the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And as the babe, as to the head, breaking forth the matrix, as to the travail, one day it will return and come forth from the spheres. And when it comes forth from the spheres, all of the members will thus appear and come forth. And when it comes forth, as the Bible said, when God spoke to Job, said, and from whose womb came forth the hoary frost? And so then from the wound of that we speak of in heaven, and there comes forth this wonderful headship breaking forth, and then the membership of the body down to the 10 toes. And since Calvary, we've seen some wonderful things that we were spiritual, we could enter into. But nevertheless, speaking to you, Paul said, after the infirmities of men, is because you are in the body, as to this moment you know, as to the way you understand. Then we speak to you of this great, marvelous thing that Peter saw, to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Peter could not fellowship them. See, the Jews had overlooked the fact that, as Paul in the Revelation discovered this, that when the Lord gave the promise to Abraham, it was before he was in circumcision. And he gave it to him before he had the sign of circumcision, so that all could be partakers, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And when he gave the sign of circumcision as a seal, as the removing of the veil, that at Calvary, when the veil of the flesh was taken away, so that the headship as to the Lord Jesus could appear in the presence of the Heavenly Father, the death veil as to the intellectual of that came forth from the tree of knowledge that was instilled within a head there, as to the head of the serpent, it was a veil of death that went over Adam, and even the blindness that was shown up in Paul's eyes when the scales was over his eyes, as the light come to show that with all of his intellectual brilliance and religious activities, that he still was in a veil of death and needed to go down to the street called Straight to have this man to preach to him and to baptize him, to wash away his sins, not as to the water taking it away, and that the water's only a grave, but that remission of sin is in the name Jesus, preached at Jerusalem, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Remission of sin is taught in his name, because there is no other name, and that name being given as a name alone for the remission of sin. Then we are as to the preacher. He is the one that remits the sins, and the water is that in which you are buried as for the remission of sin, and the remission of sin is in the name that is called over you, that you might be born again, even as the birth as to the opening of the matrimony, when the water, the blood, and the Spirit comes forth as to a child's life. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And when you said he that believeth not, it means believe not the words that he speaks, because that is faith by the hearing of the word. He that God sendeth will speak the word. You hear the word, you believe the word, you're acting on the word. As when Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Even as to this, beginning at Jerusalem, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And this is why Paul at the 19th chapter of Acts said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Under what baptism then was you baptized? They said, John said, John baptized and believe on the name, for the name will come that will have remission, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it has come, Paul said, and they were rebaptized, filled with the wonderful Holy Ghost, though they were already believers, filled with the wonderful Holy Ghost, which was the Spirit of Christ, eternal life. And with this, they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I said all that just to say this, to come to a point over here. And that is that Peter went down to Cornelius's. See, the Jews had overlooked the fact that this was given to Abraham for all nations. It was said unto Abraham, and Abraham, through thy seed, Isaac, that is pointing to Jesus the Christ, through thy seed, all nations shall be blessed. Not the Jewish nation only, but all nations. And Paul therefore confronted the Jews by saying, if righteousness came by the law, then Jesus Christ is dead in vain, Peter. Because here Peter was, that he had received the vision. He had opened the door to the Gentile church. He had declared that God was no respecter person. He had went back and testified to the brethren at Jerusalem at the gathering there at the Pentecost, the yearly gathering. He had said to them, God making choice among us, you know how he chose me, brethren, making a difference, and sent me down to open the door to the Gentiles. Also, Peter having the keys, he opened the door to the Jews. That's why God sent him down to open the door to the Gentiles, is because he had given him the keys. Now, in this, Peter had got so fuddled up in his mind because of the pressures and because of the things of the world. This is why I say what I do to you. It doesn't matter how great you are. It doesn't matter how great you are. Peter found himself cursing, found himself denying the Lord. Why did he find himself doing that? He had the keys to the kingdom. It was because he did not have the Holy Ghost. Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin. So the gift of the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. So he cursed and he denied even know the Lord. But the Lord said, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not, because he knew his works had already failed. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And when Peter was converted, he became a mighty man. Though he'd walked on the water, though he'd done all these great and mighty things, yet he still, as Jesus said, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. He still had his problem. So when this time came, even the precious, even after that the Lord had died for remission of sin, and Peter had been given this wonderful gift, see, he got under pressure again, and he began to shrink away. The thoughts of that flesh, and the thoughts of the persecution, and the thoughts of the whipping post, and the thoughts of imprisonment, and these kind of things. Though Peter had already been through many of these things and seen the great act of God, and even the angels of God ministered to him. Even, see, remember, they took him out of jail. And there Peter, being taken out of jail by the angel, he thought he was dreaming. And all of a sudden he realized that it wasn't a vision. He wasn't dreaming. It was a reality that the angel of the Lord had actually come and delivered him. And even them that was over at the house of Rhoda over there, or there praying together there where Rhoda was. See, when they run out to the gate and they said, "It is Peter." And they thought she must be out of her mind. They couldn't believe that, and yet they were praying for his release, but they just couldn't believe that. See, and they said, "You must have saw his spirit." "Oh no, I saw him. I saw him." And then when they realized it wasn't just a myth with them, but it was a living reality, they all rejoiced. God had heard their prayers. The Bible said, "Doing abundantly above all that you're able to ask or even think, with this great wonderful mind of God and spirit of Christ that dwelleth with you by the works of Almighty God, which has given you all things just merely by believing," getting your heart right to a confidence to believe in the wonderful mastery of Christ Jesus and what he hath said in his word as to honor to obey him as a proof of your faith, confident in your heart that it might have confidence that when you call on the Lord that you might receive all that you desire of him, giving you all things that pertain unto life, making you to ride upon the high places of the earth, taking away your fear and letting you have the very desire that you desire in your heart as to whatever it might be in this world and in the world to come. So then when Peter went down to Cornelius, he found himself down there preaching to him. While he was preaching, all of a sudden the Spirit of God fell upon him. You know, a lot of times when I'm preaching here, I feel the Spirit of God falling on you. And while he was preaching, all of a sudden the Spirit of God fell upon him. And when the Spirit of God fell upon him, Peter said, "I see that you're receiving the Holy Ghost. I see the Spirit of God has fell upon you, and you're receiving the Holy Ghost." You ever had that to happen? Numbers of times in my meeting or just talking, even down here when we'd be welding as to working around the place or carpentering or whatever, I'd be talking about God, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would fall and people would start crying, and different ones would be filled with the Holy Ghost, and others would come tore to pieces that's been around here for years just begging for a touch from God. See, and there the Holy Ghost fell upon them. They begin to receive the Holy Ghost. They begin to speak with tongues, and they begin to prophesy, and they begin to have stammering lips. For the Bible said, "With stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak unto this people, and for all of that they shall not hear me, saith the Lord." Well, that is, it shall come to pass in the last days, the prophet said, "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit, and in that day they shall prophesy." A lot of times folks say, "Well, what do you mean, sons and daughters?" He said, "Your sons and daughters. See, as to the rain upon the terror, upon the just and the unjust." And then what is meant by handmaids? In the old days, you remember how that they send the women because they had no physicians as to male. Today, they have the cesspool of iniquity. But then they had decency. In those days, they traveled with the people, with the women as handmaids, that in the time of the deliverer that they might be there. And he said, "I will pour out upon the handmaids," because there are those that actually travail. There are those that actually come and pray. There are actually those that are right there part of the family, and yet they're not married. See, even as it was with Abraham, see, there was Hagar. She was part of the family, and yet only to servitude, as to servants and not sons. And it was that when Abraham married her, it did not change the fact that she was still a bondsmaid. And when Sarah, who had caused the wrong, realized what had happened when the child was mocking the free child, when God actually brought to pass his promise, after that she had doubted the Lord. See, it was said, "And the child of the bondswoman shall not be heir with my child. If you are of the world, then are ye of the bondswoman, and ye are the children of bondage. For ye are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world through your bodily desire, that if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. And this hungering and thirsting on the inside is to the natural things of this world, which are altogether vanity, if they have control of your desire, your thoughts, your infatuation, your drive, your thrust for life, then are you the bond's child. And to all of you that are dead to the body that's not in the flesh, and that ye that are in the flesh cannot please God, ye being not in the flesh, but having been chosen out of the flesh, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the change of the body or the restitution, as the restoring of all things, called the millennium," which brings us back to that paradise of God. "Then in this, if you are free, ye are a free child, and ye are not given to your human senses as to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. For Paul said, these things are beggarly elements and not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed within you, which is the heavenly treasure within these earthen vessels of Christ's Spirit to be made manifest in your mortal genes, as to the chains that you may stand as a God, and with the sun shining within your strength, and shine as the great power of youth and strength and brilliance and riches and glory and splendor and magnificence, as you will be at that time, even as it was seen in Revelation 12, when the woman that stood in the sun, she was clothed with the sun, even as Jesus at the end of the church age is standing within the midst of the candlesticks. And the Bible said, as though the sun shined within his strength, even as to the power and might as with Samson, when his strength was so great that he rent a lion, a raging lion, with his bare hands, as it would be a little kid," which means a little baby goat. Now, see, so we find that we are delivered, we are free children, we are not dwelling in the world, we are dwelling in heaven, and we are rejoicing forever. Why not rejoice forevermore? When is there a time that we should not rejoice? You know, it's kind of like the offices around here, especially my printing office. I get so tore up over it. I keep asking over and over. I said, what time is there that God has declared that his operation here as to win souls should be shut down while we go do our thing every day? And we go after the flesh and turn to our own cause and running to our own house and doing our own thing. I said, what time has God given us for this? As that we should go out and we should make ourselves rich and we should make ourselves as to have a security and to a benefit while souls die and go to hell. When the Bible said, hating the very garment that's spotted with iniquity as to the flesh and pulling them out of the fire, and that the sentence of death is in them that are walking in the flesh. So then you're not in the flesh. You're not the child of bondage. You're taken away from that. You have entered into his rest. You're not those of ritualistics as even to the efforts of the flesh that seek to have justification by means of these formalities and the ritualistics that people practice in this world toward religion. Ye are spiritual beings. You do not serve God as the Bible speaks of a servitude unto God, even as the bondsmaid. You do not serve God after a servitude thing as of the flesh as to a servant. For the servant abideth not in the house always. They just come in to clean up and that's all, and they're gone. But the son stays right there. That's his home. Even through the night he abides. So then ye are not under servitude, because under the law there were as servants. But we are children born of the Holy Spirit and the very Spirit of the Holy Father from his loins. That's what we are. And that's the life we've always been, even before the world ever was. This thing given to us in Christ when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world in the foreknowledge of God and made manifest in the end time. And let me tell you something, folks. If you are a child, you're going to go by the way of the whipping post. And if you are a son, you're going to come on in. You're going to come on in. Someone would say, well, I don't know, I could be lost. Not if you're a son. It's not possible for a son of God to be lost. Somebody said, well, you can fall. The Bible said the good man will fall seven times and get back up. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you can backslide. The Lord said, I've healed your backsliding, and woe unto your backsliding. are you backsliders? For one woe comes and then another woe comes. Oh, that is to say, are you then his wife because he is married unto you? Or could you be married to somebody and they not be your wife? Then is it possible that God could be married to a backslider? Absolutely not. God is married to you because he's already healed your backsliding, and you can't backslide because you can't sin. So he hath married unto you. And when we use the terms as to backsliding, we're just simply saying to you, as a matter of speech, that is we that understand. We're simply saying to you that you're just not being steadfast in your experience with God and going on with God and doing the thing that you ought to do. Israel was called a backsliding heifer because they didn't have the Spirit of God. But when you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, there's no such thing. So then someone would say, well, don't you think in my flesh I can backslide? I would say it like this. If you can go take me to any man that's dead laying in the grave that's sliding around, then I'll agree that you can backslide. But in that you're dead, you won't be doing no sliding forward or backward. And if you are dead, then that means you're free from the flesh and you're an angelic being and you don't dwell in this tabernacle of intellectual wilderness wandering, but you're now the temple of the beloved Father and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, which is the body, members in particular, that will come to light at the change of this body. For there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. As you've borne the image of the earthly, so shall you bear the image of the heavenly. And you've already bore the image of the earthly, as Peter said, in Adam all die, the writer said. And if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one as to a temple eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, that is, if this house pass away. For the Bible said, seeing that all things will be on fire, the heavens, even the heavens and the earth, shall melt with fervent heat. But we look for new heavens and a new earth. So, when we say this, we know that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is that tabernacle, that temple in heaven. It's in the mind of Christ. It's not a tabernacle in the intellectual wilderness of confusion. So we understand that that is our body, that God is looking at that body, and that's who we are, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that this old thing will drop off, the old cocoon will drop off, and the butterfly will be free from it as to sight, but it already is as to faith, as to what we see through eyes of understanding and knowing that whatever God says, that's the way it is, irregardless to the vanities that our nerve system might behold or the eyes of these lying vanities might see. As to this that is around us, as to that which you relate to as a bond child, calling those things that are not as though the heavenly things which are not as though they are, because we are heavenly and in the heavenly places. And calling those things that are, which are those lying vanities we see, that are not. Because the Bible said, he that observes lying vanities shall forsake his own mercy. For our mercy is in Christ Jesus and the works of Christ Jesus. And in God who created us in Christ unto good works before the world ever was, and predestinated us unto good works and called us into this good works. And today we're his workmanship in Christ, as to whatever he wanted us to be, he made us to be that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today now, beloved, are you the sons of God, not a bond child. We're not that as under servitude. And the Jews themselves will come around someday, for there are some among the Jews that are not servants, that was resting in their place, in that there was no redemption of sin and they could not be made perfect without us. Then they had to rest in their place as a place prepared. God said, Daniel, thou shalt rest in thy lot and seal the vision, which was the vision of his day. John sealed not the vision, for now the price for sin has been paid. Men are no longer here to the heart of the earth in this thing, as on this side of the great gulf, which is the bottomless pit, and on this side over here, which is that place of the burning hell. Down here, and those spirits in between wandering through the dry places. But at the resurrection, when the price was paid, our spirit that was caught within this earth as to this physical structure which was made out of the dust, Satan had to release that life, and that life went into the Spirit of Christ, which is on the inside of us, as we say here, which is in heaven, as to being in the spiritual man that you can't see, that left this body, the body being dead, delivered for our offenses, smitten, raised again as to the Christ that went away, that body of which we are to membership, justified, raised for our justification, having been justified by faith in the sight of God. There's no more wrath, peace on earth, goodwill toward man eternally and forever. And now we're sanctified by the faith which is in him, justified by that wonderful faith that we place in Christ Jesus, and sanctified once and all for the offering up of the body, and then perfected or made perfect forever, cannot sin, sealed with the seal of approval as the old kings that had the signet on their rings, to where no one could tamper with that seal as to the great spirit of the Holy Ghost. So that signet is there, and we are free from sin, keeping ourselves, and the evil one never touches us because we're his church, his bride, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that was sealed in the foreknowledge of God before it was ever allowed to enter into this creature, as the Bible refers to it, the creature itself, having been made subject to sin or subjected to sin, that through the medium of the creature and Satan, who is the prince of this world, that he might, as darkness, reveal light in the design to say, you can't see light. Light has to be comprehended, as we say, as to comprehending that great, wonderful light of that understanding, the heights, the depth, the length, the width, and whatever. And that we had to understand sweet through the sting of bitter, and life through the sting of death, and strength through that of weakness, and on and on and on, as God, who is the great, wonderful, invisible, untouchable, that which cannot be seen, yet exists and is the only means of life and existence, is revealed to us through the contrast of the continual warfare of this which is abased, and that which is corrupt, and that which is infiltrated, as to that contrary, as to this on the inside, in that Paul said the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and they that are in the carnal mind cannot please God. That's death, because iniquity and death and ignorance is in that, and there's no good thing in it, and God has severed, divided asunder as to the rent veil, put that in the earth, folded up the law and laid it away, because it has no power over the spiritual man. And the only thing as to the law being spiritual, we have reaped the benefits of the spiritual part of the law. And as to the spiritual part of the law, to the spiritual part of the man, then they are hid in the spiritual world. And that is to the judgment of the worm and the creature, and that the Bible has subjected to vanity, in hope, and Christ with you, that hope of glory, that even in Adam's time and Eve's time, that they should have chosen the right way. But nevertheless, we have been restored. And on we could go for hours as concerning this wonderful, great, wonderful thing that God has done of entering into his rest. So we know then that when Peter went down to Cornelius' house, we know then that it was because the eyes of his understanding had been opened, and the ignorance of that intellectual reasoning was now gone. And that now he suddenly had come to realize what Paul saw in the revelation, that it was said, through thy seed all nations shall be blessed. And that now the veil as to the rent veil of Calvary was taken away for the Gentiles. And though this that came to Calvary, as we say, the Trinity opening up, or the three as was seen on the mountain, we know then this wasn't God's plan, but that it was the law as to Moses, it was Christ as to the child of righteousness in the church, and it was Elijah the prophet as to the 7 years to come after the 483 of Daniel's severing from Calvary, over here as to this being the open door of the church age. And we brought it out the other day talking to some of the brethren. We just take too much time to explain it tonight. As him standing one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and his hands raised to heaven. It would take quite a while to go into many things there concerning the seals and the way the Jews saw the mighty angel, as to who he was and what his purpose was. But anyway, we know then that when Peter went down to Cornelius, he knew then that God was no respecter of persons. So then, folks, we got in. Today we got in through the rent veil. And today we're no longer considered dogs and pigs and the unclean, as to the children of God that comes out from among those kind of doings. And to the Jews' utter amazement, some of them have discovered that they are the children of the devil, and that they are the pigs, and they are the dogs, and that they are wallowing in the mire of their intellectual concept of righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they've stumbled at the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. And now they realize, many of them, that they're going through problems, having gone through the Holocaust, and will go through the terrible tribulation period. So, not any, but those that believe in the name Jesus and receive the righteousness of the seal of the Spirit as through the atoning blood of Jesus can be saved. As I said to the priest as we conferenced with him over in Jerusalem, I said, "Sir, tell me one thing." I said, "If this be so as to your priesthood," and being ignorant, not knowing that the priesthood had been changed, and I was standing there as a priest and he was standing there in dirty rags, see, looking upon us as dogs, and he as the hind lifted up, having exalted himself, was abased. We humbling ourselves at the feet of Jesus had been exalted, and that through Christ forever. But I said, "Sir," as in all humility, knowing that they're blinded in part, I said, and explained one thing to me. I said, "If you then be righteous, we are then righteous by the blood." I said, "Where is your atonement for sin?" Because they don't offer up any atonement at all. And through their ignorance, God has allowed Christ Jesus' blood to atone for them, even as to the Gentiles, those without that are in ignorance, until they all come to the light, and then they're cut off. Because at the time of coming to the light is to these that will be cut off to come to the knowledge of the truth. At the same time, the Jews will come in. And when these Jews come in, then they will come to the understanding as to those that are to be cut off, and the others as to the whole house of Israel shall thus receive the name of the Father in Revelation 6 as to the opening of that seal. And they will be sealed through the tribulation period. The others will be the same as all the rest going through the tribulation as to rejection. As the light has gone out, then they will offer again their sacrifices, not understanding, except that they come to the middle of the week as to where we say, and the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. Now, so I said all of that to say this, that I said, "Where is your atonement for sin?" And he just staggered and stumbled around. I said, "Doesn't the Bible teach, even those books of the Bible that they esteem to be the Torah?" I said, "Aren't you taught in your Bible that there is no remission for sin without the shedding of blood?" "There is no remission in New or Old Testament." And then he fumbled around. He didn't know what to do because they're not offering up any sacrifice. I said, "Let's face the reality. We know it's by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ." And he got furious, and that's when he said, "You people are determined to bring his blood upon us," even as they cried in the Old Testament there in the times of Jesus. And before the New Testament came in as to the shed blood, and he said, "You're determined to bring his blood upon us." But I said, "No. See, they were the ones that cried, 'Let his blood be upon us,' not us. We've been trying our best to reach them. Jesus come to deliver them from the law, and we've tried our best to reach them. But inasmuch as they won't hear, God having given them eyes that they cannot see and ears that they cannot hear, that it might be fulfilled of the prophet's teachings, having eyes they'll see not, having ears they'll hear not, until the time when they convert in their heart, and then they come to understand, and I shall heal them." So then we know that we are the Gentile people as to per se, but in all reality, we are the church, because we have nothing to do with the Gentiles any more than we do the natural Jew. But we are the true Jew as to the spiritual Jew. "For he that is a Jew outward is not a Jew at all, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is a true Jew." So then we know that we have received it, and the others have been blinded. All of the elect hath received it. And they that were ordained unto eternal life received it. And they that were not ordained unto eternal life did not receive it. And even as it is today, they that are ordained unto eternal life, they receive it, and they hear, and their eyes of understanding come open. The others rebel, the others are stubborn, the same as idolatry and witchcraft, and they do not see anything, because Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, they cannot see when good cometh. So then you that can see, then are ye children, and be thankful. As the songwriter said, and I repeat it so much, be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot.
And the songwriter said, the blind man, he can't see flowers growing in the garden. And the crippled man, he can't walk places that he'd like to be. The deaf can't hear and the dumb can't speak. He said, be thankful for what you got. Like the songwriter said, I complained because I did not have shoes for my feet until I saw someone with burdens greater than mine. I beheld that he had no feet for his shoes. So then be thankful. Folks, we should be so grateful to enter into these gates with thanksgiving. Enter into these courts with praise, lifting our hands to heaven and rejoicing forevermore. And why not rejoice forevermore? What do we have to be sad about? Somebody when I said, well, Brother Pike, when I think about being lost. Oh, when I get depressed and I just know, you know, the Lord can't get to me. When is there a day like that? When was there a day like that? When shall ever there be a day like that? There is no such thing. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man once and for all, eternally forever. Words without change, alteration, even God himself can't change it, because not being able to swear by any greater than himself. He said, I swear by myself. I won't alter to change it. No way. You can stand steadfast believing in him, because folks, it's a sure thing. Let's stand together. Cornelius opened the door to the Gentiles. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And this thing you want to remember, that when you meet the charismatics and the others of the Trinitarian way of life, and they say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost the same as you, say, well, there's one thing about it. It's wonderful if you have. And the Bible said he will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. And it was said of John. It was said of John. As to the same thing, now it becometh us, John, Jesus said, that ye should baptize me. For in this we fulfill all righteousness. And his spirit, did he have to be baptized in him being God? Was it necessary for God to be in a body and be baptized? Life in a body and be baptized in life in his fullness? Someone said, well, he did that for an example. To who? And as someone would say, for goodness sake, what did he do that for an example for in that muddy river? Why did he want to leave an example if we don't need to be baptized? Wouldn't that be a bunch of foolishness? Some would say, well, that was for the Jews. Well, why wasn't the Jews baptized? Why didn't they serve God? Why don't they teach the baptism of John today? They don't believe in the baptism of John. It was very clearly showed that when they came to Jesus, and they said, we want to know by what authority you do these things. And he said, if you'll answer one question for me, then I'll tell you. And they said, what? He said, the baptism of John, was it of God or was it of man? And they stopped and they pondered. They said, no, wait, we can't answer him. Because if we do answer him, we're going to have to say one way or another. And if we say that it was of man, they're going to stone us, because the people believed John was a prophet indeed. And if we say it was of God, he's going to say, well, why didn't you believe it? He's the one that spoke of me. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes to believe on him who is to come hereafter. Very evidently, he wasted his time, folks, if that be the case. So if God came down and was baptized to leave an example, he left an example for us. And that is to let us know, as well as the great billionaires and as the upper echelon and the elite and the presidents and the kings and the queens and the professional men, that they're not too busy to go down to a river, even a muddy river, to be dipped, to wash away their sins, not in the water, but in the name. So remission of sin, I've kept them all in thy name, Heavenly Father, and I've lost none of them, saving the son of perdition, which was Judas, a devil from the beginning. I manifested thy name to them, Heavenly Father, and kept them in thy name. And he said, son, I'll give you another name that nobody knows but you, even in a white stone into whom you reveal it. So, if you overcome, he said, I'll give you this. That is, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, it'll overcome your flesh. The song said, we'll overcome. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, never overcome. You'll be religious, but it won't amount to anything. You don't have eternal life. You'll always be just floundering around. So, folks, let me leave this with you tonight as just a little simple exhortation and a message that might help you. That no one beguile you from the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus and the salvation, which is a simple thing.
to repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and unto your children, unto as many as be afar off, even these many in this day, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, which means all of them. And there Cornelius was, there was the Gentiles, he was opening to the Gentiles just as he opened it to the Jews. And though they'd already received that wonderful Holy Ghost, yet he said, there's some water baptized them in Jesus' name. And that is for your outer man. Someone to say, I have the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you know what he will do. Guide you into all truth and all righteousness, which means remission of sin in his name, as to bury this outer man. And if you bury him, there is no need to feel that you buried him unless you bury him in the name, because those that have been baptized under John, it was not sufficient, because there was no remission of sin in what John had done. He'd baptized under repentance. And for remission of sin, you have to be dead, and that by the body of the Lord Jesus. And if you're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, then that means he took your sins. That was you going to Calvary. And if that so, then you're buried with him in baptism and you're resurrected in the newness of life in his wonderful name for the remission of sin and your sins, as to the beast body is left behind, and you are now a new creature, and behold, all things have become new. So then we know then, as we said, you need to follow instructions. There is a plan. There is a program. In that name, though the Holy Spirit, the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, is for the sealing of your spirit, that Holy Spirit immediately tells you the plan and program of God, and you're to follow that very thing as to the bearing of the old, of the outer Adam, that you are now the new man, even the body of the Lord Jesus, and your new name is the Lord Jesus Christ, his flesh and bones, members in particular, the body, baptized into one body by one spirit, as many members to that one head. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over. Someone would say, well, I do works just like you do works. I repent just like you repent. I'm believing just like you believe. And I thank God, I work, I fast, I pray. That doesn't have anything to do with it. If it's true faith, the devil believes. If it's true faith, it's faith in the Word. It comes by hearing of the Word. And whatever the Word says, you'll do that. And when you do that, your sins are taken away. As it said to the minister, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Somebody said, as someone said one time, I'm a loose mule. You know, you're a loose horse, you're a loose mule, you're a wandering star, you're whatever you want to be. You're religious, you got a big operation, you make money, you get all kind of admiration. Whatever, that don't mean you don't have your sins. See, those sins have to be remitted, and whoever follows the shepherds, they're going to be under a shepherd somewhere, and they're going to work with a shepherd somewhere, and they're going to go through the door, and Jesus said, I'm that door. I'm that door, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was said, Paul, go down to the street called Straight. You've been real religious. You've done all kinds of things. A Pharisee of Pharisees, and you've kept the law. You're blameless, but you need to go down to the street called Straight, and you need to be baptized in his name for the remission of sin and wash away your sins, that you might get your sight and not be blind, not be a killer, not persecute Christ. For he said, Lord, who art thou that I am persecuting? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I'm gonna overcome someday. If I can hear and if I can believe, then I'll overcome someday. For we who have believed, all we who have believed, we who have believed, we've overcome today. Deep in our heart,
Friend, we do believe and we've overcome by Calvary. And you can overcome. Oh, you can overcome. You can overcome by Calvary. Open your heart. You can believe all things are possible. You can overcome by Calvary. For I have overcome. I have overcome. And I feel His Spirit dwelling in me. Deep down in my heart, I do believe. So I overcome by Calvary.
Sing that to me now.
And you can overcome. Oh, you can overcome. You can overcome all your sin and your grief. If in your heart you'll confess His name, you'll overcome by Calvary. For we have overcome. All we have overcome. We have overcome by Calvary. Deep down in my heart, friend, I do believe, and I overcome by Calvary. Can you say amen to that?
If you really have overcome,
then let's not try to spend all of our time trying to overcome. Is that all right? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Let's spend our time rejoicing forever and telling the people that we've overcome. And even if you're weak, confess His strength, because that's your strength. If you're sick, confess His health. That's your health. If you feel short of life, confess His eternal life, because that's your life. And what He is, that the Bible said, so are you in Him. And having all things that pertain unto life, let's spend our time telling people the wonderful love of God, these wonderful things that God has given us in Christ, even all things. And rejoicing forever because of the glories, because serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness. Not 3 days a week, but all the time. Day and night, every thought into subjection to that rejoicing, that wonderful blessing of God. And we should spend our time in victory. For He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. If you believe in what I've done. He said, for you be of good cheer. Don't be cast down. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. And don't be afraid of them that's able to kill the body, and after that they can do no more. Remember, you're an eternal person on the inside. You have no fear of death. That's to the destruction of the body. Though you try to take care of your vessel to utilize it for Christ. In that a wise man's substance is precious in His sight. But you be of good cheer. I said, how can I be of good cheer, Lord? He said, because I've overcome the world. I said, but how can I be of a good cheer? Because you've overcome the world. He said, because I did it all for you. And your faith in what I did for you will bring you good cheer. Be of good cheer. Everything's going to be all right. So as Paul said, don't worry. I talked to the angel of the Lord. He said, everything's all right. Oh, but it was black. The tempest lay on them. It didn't stop. They had to throw stuff overboard. It said, that makes no difference. That has nothing to do with it. All of us will be there. And when they started putting certain ones overboard and making sure that the prisoners couldn't get away, said, don't you do that. So the Lord said, unless everyone remains on board, you can't be saved. You got to fulfill the vision. So, as He said, not being disobedient to the heavenly vision, and coming to the obedience of faith, which faith is in Christ Jesus, by which you're sanctified. So then, we know that of a surety that we've already overcome. And this is your victory, your faith. Do you believe? Do you believe?
So then we're the children of the living God. Let's not spend all of our time weeping and moping and let the devil kick us around. Let's not be half-hearted and be in and out and up and down by allowing the things of the world. Don't let Satan reign in your body, not even for 1 minute, the Bible says. Not 1 hour. You're the temples of the Holy Ghost. God has made you perfect forever. He doesn't have anything to do with you. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh is to Christ. And you need to go out, possess your vessels in honor, and show the light, and let this wonderful glory of God be made manifest in your bodies, that you might be the light of the world, even to the ends of the world, that all may come to the rising of this light and the shining. As a matter of fact, Joseph and the brethren are just starting a little enterprise for God that's called the New Horizon. I saw that vision of the New Horizon. The New Horizon. They're calling it the New Horizon Enterprises. So, and as the time of Joseph is to the son of my right hand and the son of prosperity. And they were working for Joseph in that day at the right hand of Pharaoh, who was the king of that hour. So we know that the Lord is here and you are God's Joseph and you're the body that went through the prison and through the fire and that rejected the world as to the old wicked woman when Joseph pulled off the garment of the world. And ye are alive in Christ Jesus as that wonderful holy body, having been called of virtue and to glory. And today the divine conception is to Christ been formed within you. And the only travail you have is self-surrender as to self-denial, that you might bring forth that wonderful man-child within your heart and be the glorious, glorious sons and daughters of Christ. So then we're going to sing another little chorus. As we sing this chorus, let's rejoice in the Lord. God is bringing forth the man child. God's bringing forth the man child. Bringing forth the man child in you. Do you really believe that deep down in your heart? For the whole world in his glory to see, he's bringing forth a man child, and that within you and me. Singing again. God's bringing forth this man, not a man child, but his man child. He's bringing forth his man child, the light of his glory. It's within you and I that it might be made manifest in these mortal genes. And he's doing it today. I travail till Christ be formed within you. And the divine conception is of his word, his seed, remaineth in you. And I wish we could speak of revelation tonight of that concerning the fall of the garden and the many glorious things that God is doing in this hour. You love the Lord? Let's sing this chorus. If he's bringing forth a man child, it should be something like this. Oh, the light of that glory, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of that glory, of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Can you sing that with me? Oh yes, it's change. Is it really changing you? As the glory breaks forth from within you, fall to the heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels, and that the beggarly elements of this world are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you at his coming in the change of the Thessalonian change. Is it the glory? Is it the light? Is it the understanding of his unveiled face? Christ within you, the hope of glory. Christ being made manifest in your mortal genes. That is changing. If that be so, let's sing this chorus.
Let your will be done, Lord.
Can you sing that with me?
Oh, let your will be done. Create in us that mind of Christ. It's the Father that's in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory I can see that Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. So let thy will be done.
Let's just lift our hands up now. Let's consider Christ within you the hope of glory. And let's sing this little chorus.
And time shall be for you no more, and time for you.
Solomon said, a time to be born, a time to die. You was born, there came a time, and you died, and there came a time. And there was a time for resurrection, and there came a time. And in a day accepted, God heard and circled you. And today you are His beloved, and you're healed, and you're saved. I am the God that forgiveth all of your iniquities and heal all of your diseases, to make you rich and add no sorrow. Our time, I want to make you ride upon the high places of the earth. I want to feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I want you to delight yourself in me so I can give you the desires of your heart. This blessing that maketh rich and add no sorrow. You're the apple of my eye. Fear not, little flowers. Don't go around in terror. Don't go around in fear. Every time you stagger when you know you're trying with all your heart. Happy is he that does not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. He rested in the predestination of God. If you're doing things willingly and allowing, because you will not pray, you will not seek God, you will not go on with God, you will not abide in your calling, then you need to be afraid. If you're using the religious garment of God as a cloak of maliciousness to hide your unbecomingness, then be afraid, for these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Like as a brother today, he was trying to help a little bit, and the carpenter was gone for a few minutes. He decided he'd do some carpenter work, but he wasn't a carpenter. And down he came on his thumb, and oh, it must have hurt so bad as I was standing there. I said, well, the Bible said abide in your calling. And he got right up out of the place he was standing in. He crawled out of there. He laid that hammer down or turned it over to the carpenter, and he went on his way and said, I'm going back to what I'm supposed to be doing. And he went back to his work because he'd done real well in his work. Everything was working out real well. That brings a thought to my mind. I got some figures today on the cabin that we're supposed to build. It's to the church out in Colorado. Colorado means colorful, as to the covenant, Colorado. And everything looks like it's going to work out for us to build the church. It's going to take some sacrifice, some effort, some believing on our part, even as it has with the other places and with this place. Right now they're trying to charge us $5,000 as taxes, as they say, on the plane. We've already paid one place $7,000 or more. Now they say we're going to have to give them five. And on they go. The little underworld clique from county to county and state to state and from land to land. And the underworld still works right on, and they put on their badges and they throw their guns on and they force this little issue of theirs, and they corrupt and they corrupt. And the old serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel to enslave the church and to take away the rights given to us in the original Constitution of the Forefather as to a godly act. We have to live with it, but the Lord will undertake. He hasn't left us. Like as to the children of Israel, he said, these things has come upon you because you strayed from me. You come back to me, and if they that are called by my name shall humble themselves, call upon heaven and seeking God, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and held thee back from good things. But at Calvary I smote those iniquities. I took those iniquities out of the way. And if you're willing to believe in my righteousness is to follow me and to believe, make manifest within your life this wonderful life of Jesus Christ as to those deeds unto holiness, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal your lands. I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you if you ways please me. See, so I said all of that to come back around to this. You're not children of corruption. You're not children of bondage. You're not children of the world. But it is a little flock. It is a little flock. And he said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Keep your heart. Don't let the devil kick you around. Don't be cast down. Rejoice in the Lord. By faith in the word, that's rejoicing in the Lord. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Because he said it, that's the way it is. He spoke the world into existence. And that's the way it is. And that's forever the way it's going to be. And ain't going to be no changes or alterations. And so then God expects you to believe in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Even as Enoch that had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God, even as Jesus that said, I do always the things that please my Father. Believing in the word brings actions that please the Father. It pleases him for you to believe so that he can take away death, and he can take away sorrow, and he can take away heartaches, and he can give you his blessings, for he loveth you much. So while you've got your hands up, your eyes closed, knowing that this is the end of the world, and I'm telling you it is, I'm telling you it is. Oh, how long so to elaborate on those things that positively proves, positively expresses, positively comes to the understanding that you might know that this is the truth, so help me God. And that God cares for you and hath made you to know. And that you're debtors to others ye are, that ye should share with them this wonderful glory of God. While we've got our hands up and our eyes closed, let's sing this little chorus. You know, the Bible says the multitude of his thoughts are beautiful. So many, and he hath made all things beautiful in his day. And it's true. He really has. Can he do with a life that's stooped in sin? Sing that with me. What can he do when there is no hope within? Hear every time you pray, drive all the clouds away, turn darkest night to day. That's what Jesus can do. What do for you, though you're so sad and blue? He'll do what
can never for he'll hear every time you pray. Drive all the clouds away. Turn your darkest night. That's what he can do.
While your hands are up and your eyes are closed, and I want to praise him. I want to praise him. I'm going to ask Brother Keith Nelson, to come and dismiss us. For sinners lame. Can you lift your hearts and hands up to heaven? Don't you feel real clean, real holy, real godly? Not because we're good, but because he's good. And aren't you doing everything that you possibly can that you might praise his lovely name and that you might give him glory? Because he's taken away your sins. And in him there is no sin, and he that abideth in him sinneth not. He that sinneth is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But he that is born of God, he sinneth not. He cannot sin because the seed of God remaineth in him. And he's entered into the rest of the Lord, and he is sealed until the day of the change of the body. So, for sinners, all together now.
Let us give him glory. For his blood that's washed.
We want to sing it one more time together as Keith comes. One more time together, let's sing.
And will you praise him? Will you praise?